Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Monday. I like it. We have Paula Bova, News and Notes, with us today on this Monday show. So we're going to do a little social media with Lindsey Smith over at the Coyotes. I'm playing around with something, a few things. And we tell you guys, if you're just finding us for the first time, welcome. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our show airs on Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central said, we want to be with you. Thus, we'll put your show up as well, which is cool. And we're here every Monday through Friday. Things that are Arizona-centric that we check out on a daily basis. And a little bit of a slant here or there. And we're not just going to sit here and say, rah, rah, everything's great. Oh, man, this is the best thing ever. No. We have some fun with this. This is not brain surgery. It is sports. So Paula is with us. Paula is with us every Monday. I've known Paula Bovin for, gosh, this will sound old. This will make her sound old, so I'm not going to do that. I've known Paula for like a few weeks, which in my world is like, I don't know, 30 years almost. And I always respect the heck out of her opinions and insights and glad to have her come on board. So that's coming up today. The weekend was... Yesterday was as good as it gets if you're a fan of sports. If you're not even a fan of golf, but you like seeing competition, like the Olympics are going to come up and we're going to have, most all of us are going to watch the 100-meter dash final. Okay, we will. Doesn't mean there were big track and field people. We're going to watch Michael Phelps. Doesn't mean we're all swimmers or that we're into it, but we're going to watch the great moment take place when Phelps goes into the pool and tries to win more gold medals, whether it's the 100 free, whatever the event is. Yesterday, the Open Championship, even if you're not a golfer, but if you appreciate sports being played at the highest level, yesterday was a duel of duels. I'm not a great golfer. I love getting out. I'm into the majors. I'll even watch the John Deere Classic if things are a little bit slow on a weekend. I am that way with golf. And so when I'm watching Phil and Henrik Stenson, I want to get into that here in a little bit. I've got some thoughts on that front. Von Miller's story impacting the Cardinals. We'll get to that in about 15 minutes because Von Miller gets this gigantic contract and the signing bonus and the guaranteed money is all I care about. I don't care about the big old number on it. But how it impacts Chandler Jones and the Cardinals who open up training camp in less than 2 weeks and Von Miller and the money spent there. We'll get into that. I watched Ballers last night. Guys, if you don't watch Ballers, like between the two series that are on the air, Hard Knocks and Ballers, easily I will take Ballers. Easily. Having been around sports and having been around football, Ballers is, and it's not that way here in Arizona as much because we don't have, the last time I checked, an ocean. So you can't cruise up on a boat to Sue's restaurant named after Indomican Sue. And Sue is in it last night with Dwayne Johnson. But Terrell Suggs shows up in Ballers last night. And he gets in a fight with Dwayne Johnson. So I've got to get into that. It was great. It was great stuff. The Summer Suns, they didn't even play their guys. So yeah, they went to the semifinals and they lost. There you go. I'll give you enough on that front. Diamondbacks take 2-3 from the Dodgers. And they had to hang in there. But I think the story that I want to start with is Shelby Miller's mysterious issue. So when we have Tony La Russa go on the radio, and he went over on Bickley and Murata's show and over on 98.7 on Friday, and he talked about a mysterious issue. Quote, there was something that I know that is really going to sound kind of yucky and kind of mysterious, but there was an issue that came up. Believe me, it was not illegal. It wasn't something, anything dramatically character-wise that was a problem. But there was something that came into the way that Shelby prepared that worked against him and not for him. Okay, so Lewis wouldn't go into this in great detail. A couple things here. It was not illegal. Okay, got that. It wasn't anything dramatically character-wise that was a problem. Dramatically. Meaning, well, it could have been something minorly that was a character issue here. I don't know. Was he taking X-lax the day before his game to feel like he was a little lighter in the backside? I don't know. This, when he says something yucky, guys, we all have to wonder on this front. And it probably would be in Shelby Miller's best interest to be forthright and completely straightforward and say, let me tell you what yucky was, is. It may be uncomfortable for people to hear what yucky and what yucky is. What constitutes yucky, Eric? I'm putting you on the spot here. There's a whole bunch of things I could say that are yucky. What do you think Tony is talking about? Was he drinking castor oil the day that he pitched? So what constitutes yucky? It's got to be something intestinal. It's got to be. It can't be him burping because he's taking garlic out on the mound. That can't be it.
Digestion issues?
It's
got to
be digestion issues. Like, he's throwing bad pitches, just please get me out of here because I'm about ready to soil myself in front of everybody.
And professional athletes are like foreign cars. They're very fine-tuned, and they have to almost be perfect, especially for pitchers when they're pitching on game days. And, yeah, it's you hear the term a lot, Brad, like, we're going to flush this.
Yeah.
Like, after a bad game.
Right.
Shelby Miller is probably just wants to flush the entire 2016 season at this point.
Well, I'm thinking he's flushing during the game.
Yeah, there is a play on words there somewhere.
I'm thinking that flush and what's going on with Shelby. I mean, I'm serious here, guys. This is, on one hand, you may be saying this is so juvenile and amateur, and I'm not. Okay, this is the CEO of the Diamondbacks saying it's yucky. And it wasn't anything dramatically character-wise that was a problem. So there was something minor there that he was doing that they didn't approve of, is how it reads to me. But there was something that came into the way that Shelby prepared that worked against him and not for him. So what was it that he was ingesting that wasn't illegal? Like, you know, if a pitcher has mono, that's not going to come out. They're not going to say he has mono. And there's been times here in Arizona where there's been pitchers of the Diamondbacks, and it's been pretty recent, that below the surface it was he's battling mono and he'll work through it. And they don't make it public, okay?
And usually those pitchers do work through it.
Usually they do.
Usually.
Okay, so in this case, if it's Shelby, it can't be mono on this one because that's not yucky. Is mono something? Well, maybe to Tony La Russa, mono is yucky. He just doesn't have the energy out on the mound, and that's something he's got to get through. It wasn't illegal. It wasn't dramatically character-wise it was a problem. That's the one where I'm sitting here going, okay, dramatically character-wise. It sounds to me like there was a conversation or conversations that the team was like, hey, we got to get to the bottom of this. And there's another play in words. And if you've got to sit down, there's another play in words.
See what you did here. Yeah, I see where you're headed.
Yeah.
I don't like necessarily where you're headed, but I see where you're headed.
I'll get through it. So this mysterious issue, it wasn't Zika. If it was Zika and it's a picture of the Diamondbacks, that would come out. So here's an interesting. So the Diamondbacks in January had this event out at Wild Horse Pass. It was a night where they invite out all their big cigar clients and media comes out there. And it's your first chance to see people. And this is in to see the team. So I went out and Shelby shows up and he was fine. He was chatting away and somebody asked him, this was like February. It's like February 1st. I go back on the calendar and correct me on this. But it was clearly a long time after they had acquired him. And he said at that time, well, I haven't really gotten to see Arizona. I'm just out here looking around at houses, which to me was, I have not shopped yet to figure out where I'm going to live, even though I was traded here a while back. And it kind of struck me as awkward, odd. I don't know. If you're coming into a place where they've given up a lot to get you, getting the housing part figured out and just getting your quality of life figured out, I would have thought would be something that would already been taken care of. I could be wrong on this. It just struck me as odd. There's always something odd around this Diamondbacks team. That same event, Derek Hall's on stage making jokes about Jenny Craig and Yasmani Tomas. There's nothing funny, and it got some laughs, kind of harsh laughs. There's nothing funny about how Yasmani Tomas has not produced like a player that they're paying $90 million to or whatever the amount is, a lot of money to.
It's funny when the team is winning.
Sure it is.
And winning consistently.
Yep. But when you're one of the most disappointing teams on the season, these types of things magnify themselves. I would like to see the team win. I don't sit here and intentionally dredge up stuff and say, aha, I get to pound on this team again today. Because I don't think that the Diamondbacks have been disingenuous in their pursuit of trying to put a good team on the field. It's just they are constantly spinning their wheels. And I think Ken Kendrick's a good man. I really do. But everything underneath Ken has to be looked at and said, what are we doing here? You know, I get it. Yesterday, I'm trying to watch the I'm trying to watch the game, and all I'm getting is ice cream commercial for 3 hours. I get it. You have a big sponsor. The team's not playing well. It's National Ice Cream Day, and you got to do something because you got to make sure that sponsor's back next year or however long the agreement is. And so you're just going to sit here and talk ice cream all day long. I get it. It's not like we're in a pennant race, and this is how you're just trying to get through it. Stuff like that does drive me nuts, and I'm going to go after them on it. You know, we're better than that. The Cardinals and Von Miller, this contract that came up yesterday, we'll get into that on the other side. And Terrell Suggs, T-Sizzle, it is a cool nickname, by the way. T-Sizzle is a cool nickname. I'm not big on nicknames, but T-Sizzle showed up last night in Ballers. We'll have that on the other side. Then Paula Bovin in about 10 minutes. Lindsey Smith, some social media later in the show. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismack. So there's a ton of football going on. We have 1 week left, week and a half, and then the Cardinals get started. And I think we've dredged up every last angle around the team. They're going to be good. Get back to me in late December. Let's see how they do in the playoffs and if Carson Palmer can take them to the Super Bowl, in a nutshell. And it doesn't mean I'm not going to sit here and talk about them every day. It's just I don't see the point in analyzing. We've analyzed all offseason. This is a playoff team. That's it. That's it. There are no excuses. None. No excuse to not beat the Patriots without Tom Brady to open the season. None. You guys set it up? There it is. Plain and simple. We're all now going to watch you do your thing. Von Miller. I'll get to that in a minute. And the money that he got Friday, late Friday, so we didn't get to it on Friday's show, and Chandler Jones and the contract with Tyrann Mathieu. We'll get to that in a little bit. Eric was out at Pac-12 Football Media Day, because we do a lot of college here on sports360az.com. If you're just finding us for the first time, AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic. How was Pac-12 Football Media Day, by the way, before we get over to this other stuff?
Light, I guess, would be the right way to put it.
So there was not much national media there this year?
Not as many of the national faces.
Why do you think that?
Let's see. Partly because I believe the Big Ten started theirs last week, and I know the SEC also had their...
Nick Saban spoke Thursday.
Right. Their, what, week-long, 10-day, however long the SEC Media Days last now?
Yeah.
Event. But always a good time. As usual, the Pac-12 changed the venue for Media Days this year. It was in Hollywood. In the past, it's been in Burbank. It's been in Los Angeles.
So they always want to do the movie theaters and, like, the, you know, the ritzy, glitzy stuff.
It was at the Lowe's Hotel in Hollywood, so very
sweet.
Nice. Yeah, very nice.
That's like right out front where the Walk of Fame is, right? There's some you could do the stars. Sure.
Yeah,
just say,
yeah.
Just say yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, all I did was get in a car, follow wherever the iPhone told me to go, park the car, go to the event, get back in the car, follow the iPhone back to my
Eric's
in-laws house.
Eric's very A plus B equals C
kind
on this
of,
stuff,
kind
which
of.
Is fine. But in seriousness, there was not the biggest names for the conference this year. But Larry Scott made it sound like that this is going to be a great year for the conference. I guess I'm looking at it saying, without all the hype, and you come away with this, without all the hype, this is a wait-and-see year for Arizona State and Arizona.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. Arizona State picked to finish fifth above only Colorado in the South, and just above ASU is U of A, projected to be fourth. And a lot of the storylines around both the in-state schools are similar. Looking at improving bad defenses, trying to find starting quarterbacks, trying to get back to what those teams were 2 years ago when U of A won the South and ASU won 10 or 11 games. So this will be an interesting year to follow. And maybe some people were saying maybe it's better that both of the Arizona schools are sort of flying under the radar. I mean, now you see the power shift going from 2 years ago, it was the Arizona schools at the top of the South, and now you're back to the the usual powers. I believe UCLA was picked to finish first and USC second in the Pac-12 South.
Did Todd Graham acknowledge you? Shake your hand? Talk your ear off?
He did not. And he did, didn't do any of those. The closest I got to Todd Graham was at the Burbank Airport when he and I were sharing floor seats in the lobby waiting for our flight to fly back on Friday. But
you guys were on the same flight?
We were.
Private jet, huh? Wow, that's cool.
Yep. Southwest is private and as jet-ish as you can get.
Were you guys A's or B's?
He was pre-board and I was in the middle of the B's.
Wow.
So pretty
typical. I thought we did better than that. You got to talk to our travel
agent. Well, again, that's a me problem. That's not a you problem. I just should have logged into my flight a little earlier.
That's your problem, I guess.
And Christian McCaffrey, by the way, was the biggest name there. And clearly, when he came in on Friday, they were one of the last teams on Friday to go through the little circus of media events. And there was the biggest pool of reporters around Christian McCaffrey.
I think Stanford's going to be good. I mean, that's no breaking news here, but I think that they're not getting nearly the attention. Washington's getting all this love.
Yeah, Chris Pearson doesn't really understand why, but they return a lot of players, and they're sort of a program that's, you would think, on the cusp of taking that next step, going from a 8-9 win team to a 10-11 win team.
Did you see Ballers last night?
I did not. Nope.
So Ballers, if you guys have HBO Go, I know people are dropping cable right and left and satellite. On my Apple TV, they put up the episode of Ballers early last night. So I watched it. Didn't have to sit around and wait till the West Coast feed.
You love it, right?
Ballers is true, man. That's like when I watch, there's all there's ever been is Hard Knocks. That's all there's ever been. And Hard Knocks was great when it first came out. And now it feels like it's the same old thing, and they've toned down the hard hitting because the league has toned down the hard hitting. Like I saw where there was Commissioner Goodell either did or was trying to get Ballers to tone it down, okay? And you know my theory on how the NFL got involved with concussion and Will Smith and completely took that movie. And
yeah, they want their hands on everything.
They just took that movie and made sure it opened opposite Star Wars so nobody really saw it, and that Will Smith didn't get Best Actor and all that stuff. And, you know, there were papers that came out when there was all the leaks within the movie theater or the movie studio industry time of, you know, tone this down from the league. So it's out there. But I think when you watch Ballers, they don't censor the language. They have it off the field as I've seen it off the field. I'm not an agent, but I've been around agents. I've been to parties that agents have put on. I've been to those places. Haven't felt the need in recent years to go to that stuff because I've seen it, and it's fine. You got to do stuff to entertain, wine, and dine. But Terrell Suggs, I think we have a clip. We have a clip of Terrell Suggs showing up last night. I didn't know the T-Sizzle was in this. And I like Terrell. Terrell, we go all the way back seeing Terrell play high school football here in the Valley and then blowing up in Baltimore. And, of course, he's a Sun Devil.
Yeah, this is basically him talking about being on the show with a couple clips from the show.
All right, here it is.
Ballers as a show, I think, is awesome because it's kind of hard to truly capture, you know, the lifestyle of football players.
I don't have to do any speeches, do I?
He doesn't do speeches.
They really keep it authentic, especially bringing in, you know, guys that's playing now, current players, former players. There's been shows in the past that wasn't even close, but this is kind of spot on.
Sis, can I talk to you, man?
I did a scene with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He's such a good actor that, you know, he just kind of helps you with your lines, like you come in with, you know, when it hit his mark, when he's talking and everything.
We're going to you should
play.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Why do you guys have so much animosity?
You're a dirty player, but let's just be honest. You're just as overrated at your new job as you was at your last one. I had to make it believable on scene, like, yo, me and him really got into it, you know. It would be something to see.
Hey, sit down.
But it was pretty fun, man. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
All right. It was great when that scene went down, and Jake Glazer has a prominent role in it. Indomitian Sue was the one that was featured early, the restaurant Sue's.
And Scooby Wright also got a cameo in there, if you saw it, briefly.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Scooby Wright had a little two or three second cameo in that trailer.
That show, when Hard Knocks first came out, I was in the same mode I am now about Ballers. This is the second season of Ballers. And it's one of those I have to ask my son to leave the room, my 11-year-old. There's no way he's going to watch that. And my wife kind of looks over at me like, really? You're going to watch Ballers? And then she gets into it. She thinks it's pretty cool. So there's not been anything like it, and it's cool that it's back for another season. And it blew up on Twitter about him wearing the Diamondbacks hat. There's two scenes. You see them both where he's got a different lid on each one. And I don't know if that was him saying, I'm going to include this in the scene or not. I don't know. But it's good that it came back on that front. Von Miller. So money well spent by the Broncos, and the Cardinals have to be looking at that. If you're talking about who's better in the NFL at his position than Von Miller, you could probably, if you're a Texans fan or a J.J. Watt guy, you'd say J.J. Watt. Or I'd say you got to throw Aaron Donald in the conversation, but that's just me, and I see him twice a year when the Cardinals play the Rams. Aaron Donald's terrific. Von Miller single-handedly tore up Carolina in the Super Bowl. Von Miller plays a position that if you look at the NFL, and just look at football in general, but really the NFL, all of the change in the NFL in terms of rules favors offense. We've known that. If you're a linebacker, you can't do some things. If you're in the secondary, you certainly can't do some things. If you're on offense and you throw the ball 60 yards downfield and there's some contact, it's a spot foul. It's against the guy in the secondary. Very simple. But what does Von Miller have to work against him? If you're on the defensive front, do you really have rules that hold you back from going after the quarterback? And the answer is no. So if you're going to pay somebody and you're going to pay them huge money, you know, the sexy number that you see is 6 years, $114.5 million. That's not the real number. In NFL contracts, you look at the guaranteed money and you look at the signing bonus. Those are the two numbers I care about. I don't care about the big one. It just sounds really nice. $17 million signing bonus. Here's the pen. Sign. We're going to give you $17 million. $42 million of this is going to be guaranteed. But of course, in the NFL, they can always come in the offseason and say, you know what? I don't think so. So when you see backup point guards in the NBA getting $10 million. Like this summer, in the last 3 weeks, okay, the landscape of sports, if you're a young man and you're aspiring to make huge money, just with the way that it is set up right now, you should be a basketball player. You should not be a football player. Backup point guards are, I mean, scrubs. Mozgov, $62 million is the one that jumps out at everybody. Mom, why did I finish at 6'8 and not 6'11? All you have to do is stand there, and we're going to give you $30 million just to be a stiff. There's backup guards that are getting $10 million. Guys that were John Lauer, not Matt Lauer, John Lauer, got a huge deal. And he was a fine enough player for the Suns, but certainly not. And he got double figures. So, you know, the Cardinals with Chandler Jones, now that bar has been set for next year. If Chandler Jones goes out and puts up big money, he's going to now have something to look at. Same with Tyrann Mathieu, different position. But if you're a valuable defensive player, there you go. Paula Bovin's next, news and notes, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports, I'm Brad Sussmat.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
I was going to catch up with Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports columnist, even on vacation. She joins us from Seattle today. A wonderful city, a wonderful sports town. My son moved there 3 months, 4 months ago, and they already go to Sounders games, and the Sounders are as big a deal as the Mariners, and the downtown is vibrant. And okay, if we compared sports cities, I think they've done it better than we have in terms of planning where to make downtown and sports facilities, without question, right?
You know, this is such a wishy-washy answer, but it depends what you're looking at. If you're talking about, you know, having these, like the Sounders, I think that's a neat thing for this city to have people support it, blah, blah, blah. But the traffic in Seattle is so horrific.
Yep.
That
true.
Even if these facilities are closer to, you know, downtown, or, you know, football is just south of the city or whatever, it's still such a nightmare to get everywhere. So it's hard for me to make that blanket statement. Now, you know, I love their ballpark, is one of my favorites in Major League Baseball. So I love their facilities. The crowd in at football games for Seahawks, you know, that sixth man is or 12th man, excuse me, is like nothing else you've seen. And it's so, so loud. And then you've got, you know, the University of Washington is right there. So, yeah, I mean, it's all around there. It's just getting everywhere drives me crazy.
Okay, so what I hear,
I'm going to be honest,
what I hear about, like, Sounders games, they draw 60,000 per game to watch the professional soccer team up there. So clearly there is a market there that we don't have here. But fans come right from Bainbridge Island on the ferry. They're dressed in their gear. They have their kits on. They've got bands playing. That's for soccer. So on Seahawk games, what I hear is you've got to actually get to the ferries around the area very early in order to even get over there, because it's such a thing. And they've got a light rail system in place. They don't have basketball, though. So we got that on them. Even though the team has not been good, it looks like they're trying to turn the corner here. And they've never really...
And they're still bitter about the basketball thing.
Right, so. Right. No, they're really upset about that. Like, the Kevin Durant story for them was another shot to the heart, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. I don't want to start this out on an uncomfortable subject around the Diamondbacks, but when the words Yucky and Shelby Miller are together... Okay, so right. Eric and I started the show with what constitutes yucky. And it has to be something within the body that we just don't want to really go too deep into, I think. Do you know more than this and what you're letting on, by the way?
No, I don't know. And I asked around a little bit. You know, I kind of took off, got out of town pretty quick after that happened. But no, I honestly don't know more than what I wrote. And you're right. I mean, it was so bizarre, because it does lead to this sort of speculation, and as you alluded to, of, you know, parts of the body or whatever, you're like, what does he mean? And it was kind of a weird choice of words for him, and maybe not the right decision to open the door with it, because now we're kind of just wondering what the heck that all means. So no, I don't know. But it did make me a little uncomfortable even writing it, to be honest.
There's a lot that's going on down there. Derek Hall's dealing with a personal situation with his wife's health, the organization with Tony and how he made those that comment this last week. Chip, there's a lot of division within the fan base. I shouldn't even say division. It's like 70-30 that wants him blown out. And then there's this whole side of, boy, what a letdown. Let's just get to the football season, which I think is too bad, because we should be passionate and care year-round about each one of our sports teams. But that said, is there anything that you can grab onto? I know you wrote a note about, you know, Greinke and what he's done this year, but even Goldschmidt, I had Pedro on last week, and Pedro said, you know, I'm just saying this isn't going to happen today, but don't be surprised right. The Dodgers make a run at Goldschmidt. I can't find much to hang my hat on here, Paula.
No, I get that, and I read your stuff from Pedro, and it has to be a bit, you know, alarming for Diamondback fans, even though it's maybe just speculation at this point. You know, it's sort of what I wrote. I mean, I really believe, you know, there have been a lot of reasons for why this team has gone wrong and what things have gone south. The reality is, one of them, they had some really unfortunate injuries. And I know that happens to everybody, but you can't ignore that that was an issue. So when you look at what's coming back, it's a Greinke, it's a Goldschmidt, it's a healthy A.J. Pollock. It is some young guys like Jake Lamb that are, you know, showing so much and getting better. That's a lot more than a lot of teams have as far as what to build on. Now, they've got to get, you know, if this pitching staff hadn't been such a disaster, and I'm not just talking Shelby Miller, you know, but more consistent, I think things would be a lot different. So I feel like there's things they can work on. They can play better defense in the outfield. They're going to have healthy infielders back. And you look at the staff, and there's a lot of guys. I was talking to Nick Pecora about this. There's a lot of guys on that pitching staff that other teams would want, even right. if they're struggling, because there's a belief system in them. So in that regard, I don't feel like it's hopeless. You know, I don't say it's going to turn around, but gosh, when you talk about those players, that's pretty positive. So there's my Anthony Robbins, Tony Robbins uplifting talk for the day.
Yeah, you don't have them walk on fire though. So there's that. You got
no,
that
no,
going
no.
for you.
God,
Von Miller's contract comes out at $114 million. But really, the numbers that matter are the $42 million guaranteed and the $17 million signing bonus. So now the Cardinals know that there's a barometer, a benchmark of if Chandler Jones goes out and has a big season. But you also have Tyrann Mathieu's contract, too, which hasn't been resolved yet. And they've got a lot of money tied up in Patrick Peterson. When you look at the Miller contract, I do think it impacts the Cardinals. And it is something to bear watching now that Miller has gotten his deal at $114.5 million. I think Chandler Jones is J.J. Watt. I don't think that he's Aaron Donald, but I think he's pretty darn close to those guys. And if he puts up a big year, it's good that he's incentivized now. I think this is a positive, but I don't know how Steve Keim's going to be able to navigate through it.
Yeah, this is we're going to see Keim at his best. And right now, I think Cardinals fans have to give Keim and this organization the benefit of the doubt as far as how they negotiate contracts, because they've done a pretty good job in the past. They've had to make some really tough decisions, maybe about letting players go. But it seems to me every decision, for the most part, that they've made has been about it being a good business decision. So, yeah, I think it's challenging. I mean, you look at, when you're talking about a terrific guy who can play both corner and safety, the Honey Badger, it really complicates the issue. So I see their challenges that they're facing, but, I think Cardinals fans, and most of them are feeling this way, kind of give the team the benefit of the doubt that they're going to figure it out, because they've had to make some tough decisions, business decisions in the past of cutting players to keep others aboard, and they seem to have handled it pretty well. But it is a great storyline to watch right now.
And to that, it's not like Steve Keim didn't sit there in March and say, we don't know of any big contracts that are coming up. That's not him. He knows, and he knew that Von Miller's deal was going to come up, and that, okay, they're going to acquire this guy. And both Chandler Jones and Tyrann Mathieu had to be jumping for joy Friday night. Just had to be thrilled with the number that came down. But I still think, Paul, if we were to look at the NBA, if I have a son right now who I think could play sports professionally and aspire to do that, and he was a good enough athlete, I would tell him, go play basketball. Because we've got backups getting $10 million this summer, right? Mozgov got $60 million. John Lauer, when we watched him play for the Suns, that guy's not a $10 million a year player, and he got $10 million.
It was amazing. The NBA middle class, and to some extent lower class,
yes,
contracts they were getting. And, you also have to remember that with the NFL too, we're not talking guaranteed contracts.
Correct.
So if you're right, I mean, if I had a kid, I think another kid, I'd train him to get ready for the NBA, because that money is crazy right now.
Anything else that's caught your eye? I know you're on vacation.
No, I'm kind of mentally checked out. Although I'll tell you, I was even at the airport yesterday. I was talking to someone, and everybody's talking Cardinals training camp. I mean, everybody's ready for football season to start. So I think the days of counting down are here, and fans are excited.
Yeah. Decompress. Talk soon. Thanks.
Okay, Brad. Talk to you.
Paul Abova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. I got a couple of minutes in the segment, so I want to go back. Off the top, I mentioned the Open Championship yesterday. Phil Mickelson, at 46 years of age, still able to compete. I have not seen the TV ratings for yesterday, but I have to imagine, even though it's the dead of summer, the Open is always the lowest rated of the majors, because it's middle summer. All of us are beaches, lakes, whatever. We're, for the most part, we're checked out, and we're not going to be, we're camping. We're busy. But here he is against 40-year-old Henrik Stenson, and the two of them are just going shot for shot with each other. And they're making shots that you look at and you say, oh my gosh, That's a 50-foot putt, or Phil's dropping it with spin to bring back 5 feet from the hole with ease. The two combined for an eagle, 14 birdies, and just two bogeys yesterday. And the conditions as the match wore on, and it was match play yesterday. It really was, watching those two go back and forth because they had lapped the field. I thought it was interesting, in aside from Stenson winning and the great theater that we saw yesterday, for a 40-year-old to beat a 46-year-old in a major in the way that he went about it. The other story yesterday was the NBC broadcast. I should have had Eric pull this when he said it. Johnny Miller went after Rory McIlroy yesterday. And Rory McIlroy became a punching bag this weekend. Rory talked about the Olympics last week. I happen to agree with him. But the golf purist did not, ripped him to shreds. His job is not to grow the game. He can grow the game by going out and playing well. I think how he explained it to some, they took it personal, like, well, of course he should grow the game first. You're growing the game by showing up, okay? Let's not sit here and cut hairs on this one. But Johnny Miller said, and I'm paraphrasing here, that Rory, and I wrote this down, is more concerned with wearing tight shirts and being in the weight room, paraphrasing, than he is going out and competing. And I thought that was an interesting comment from a guy like Johnny Miller going after McIlroy. And I think it was Roger Maltby who said he's had several missteps this weekend and things that were regrettable that he said.
Is that sort of a generational thing, though?
I think you're right. I think that
the old school and the new school usually do not think the same. They do not act the same.
Yeah.
Golf is such a
get off my lawn
kind of finicky game to begin with. So it doesn't surprise me when you hear something like this.
But. Well, and you're right. Johnny Miller, I think, is in his late 60s, early 70s. McIlroy's in his early 20s. Yeah, when I watch Rory McIlroy walk out on the course, he must just do nothing but sit-ups and drink water and eat a cracker during the day because he is cut.
Well, and most of the young golfers are. I mean, Spieth is in great shape. Obviously, Tiger at his peak was in great shape.
Well, was he using something to be in great shape?
I mean, that's a whole other show out there.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But you're getting these tall, thin, lean golfers. It's not the John Daly's and some of the other more rotund.
Craig Stadler.
Yeah, the Walrus.
The Walrus. No,
you won't see any golfers in their 20s with the nickname of Walrus.
But there are some guys. It's a good point you bring up. It's a good point. There are some players that may look a little sloppy, and that's the everyman. That's the one that every guy can relate to rather than that one of 1%. Like, I hear the issue that golf is having in our country is that television just scares people away. They don't want to try it because those guys are so good, and that's all that people have to watch is those guys. They don't see somebody who's like them that'll go shoot 100. So they put pressure on themselves that they've got to spin one back at the Open and put it within 10 feet of the hole in the rain with a 15-mile-per-hour crosswind. It's impossible. We're going to do something a little different on the other side. Lindsay Smith is going to be with us. Lindsay works with the Coyotes. She is somebody that you've seen if you're out at Coyotes games. Some things on the social media front. I want to try Lindsay's view here on the other side. We'll do that. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. It's the middle of July. We're going through it up until camp opens a week from Friday for the Cardinals. Just dead of summer, having a good time. Thanks for being with us. All right, let's go through all things social media-wise, what is out there with Lindsay Smith, all things around social media. Lindsay works with the Coyotes at times. Actually, you're with them all the time, right, Lindsay?
I am, yes. I am with the Coyotes full-time, so I'm here right now.
And
the ice has officially been taken out, so it's a little bit warm these days down here.
Yeah, I got to get that ice down, especially in the middle of summer. All right, what caught your eye over the weekend, if we're talking social? What jumped out at you over the weekend?
Well, if we're talking social media, I would probably have to start with the Orlando Magic asking Twitter to describe their offseason in three words. Obviously, you know, it's Twitter, so you're going to get those trolls who give you those negative answers. Anytime you ask a question to Twitter, you're just opening the door for them to come right in and bash you any way they can. So That was probably one of the big things that happened on social media for me this offseason, or this weekend, which was pretty funny. Were you able to see that at all?
I saw a little bit of it. And, you know, Linz, when you open yourself up like that, like you said, it's not like the Magic have had a great offseason. You're going to get crushed, and they probably should get crushed for some of what's not happened. All right. Was there anything up there about Terrell Suggs and being on HBO last night on Ballers? Did you see any of that stuff this weekend?
I did. There were a couple things on Terrell Suggs on Ballers. Obviously, with us being in Arizona, the fact that he was rocking a D-backs hat, I saw two, one red and one blue, actually. That was pretty cool. And then, of course, he got into a fight with The Rock, a.k.a. Spencer, on the show, which was, you know, for me, it was a little sad because I always want to see The Rock win everything.
Yeah, and Suggs took him down. It was one of those things where, you know, he comes in on the scooter because he's hurt. Did you see it, Lindsay? Did you see the segment?
I didn't see all of it. No, I watched bits and pieces of it this morning, but I did hear that he came in on the scooter and just pretty much The Rock came out on bottom there.
Yeah, they were talking trash and going back and forth with each other. Lindsay Smith, all things social media. The Open Championship. So we had this great duel with Phil and Henrik. Anna, are you a golfer?
I'm not a golfer, but I enjoy the game
and,
for what it is.
And what was the response about Phil coming up short once again? Was there much out there in social media buzz?
I mean, I saw both sides. There were a lot of people who, you know, had some negative things to say about Phil and his lack of intimidation. But you also have to look at it. Phil played one heck of a tournament. Like, he did great. It just so happened that Henrik did a little bit better.
And that you had this note I saw about the standout years between the late 30s and 40s. You know, a guy like Phil, a guy like Henrik, that pretty much sticks to code here, right? That came out over the weekend, too, on social.
Yeah, so it was a meme I saw on Snapchat, and it said, age is just a number in 2016. Obviously, it had Henrik Stenson at 40, wins the Open. Jaromir Jagr, 44, 18th career, 25-goal season. Peyton Manning winning the Super Bowl at 39. David Ortiz, 40, he's got 22 home runs, 10-time All-Star. And, of course, Serena Williams at 34 wins Wimbledon.
Yeah, and of course.
So I thought that was kind of neat, and it was really cool, you know, giving some credit to the veterans who've been around for so long.
Yeah, and I'm out of that demo, so it doesn't impact me, and you're not even close to that demo yet, so it doesn't impact you, right?
I'm hoping not. I'm feeling a little bit older these days.
Yeah, get out of here. What are you talking about? It's Mandela.
One other thing I saw.
It's Mandela Day. It's Mandela Day today.
It is, yes. And ESPN posted a nice reminder. One of his lines that he said is, sports has the power to change the world. It has the power to inspire. It has the power to unite people in a way that little else does. Sports can awaken hope where there was previously only despair. And I thought that was a really good quote, especially with what's been happening in the world lately these days. It's always important to remember that, you know, what unites us will only make us stronger. We've got to come together as one people. And the idea behind Mandela Day is pretty cool. It's kind of make every day and a Mandela Day. Take action, inspire change. You know, go out there, whether it's big or small, do something that will change your world.
Wow. Listen to you. It's a lot.
Whether it's volunteering, giving up, you know. It's just always something, it's a nice reminder, especially on a Monday. Everyone always, you know, Mondays aren't exactly the best days. So it's always good to, you know, do what you can just to, even if it's as small as buying somebody's coffee, just to, you know, inspire change in somebody's life and do something a little bit better that will help create a better community.
It's better than National Ice Cream Day yesterday. We're talking about a 2-pound Diamondback. Did you see that?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know you're not a fan of the 2-pound ice cream thing, but I'm not going to lie. I would take that down.
you probably have a point there, all right? You probably have a point. All right, get out of here. Good stuff. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right, bye, Brad.
There's Lindsay Smith there, all things social media. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now. It's Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Thanks for being with us.